Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. My guest has been a well-known figure at the European Parliament over the last 5 years, but she was only catapulted into the French national limelight earlier this year. Valérie Ayé was chosen by Emmanuel Macron to lead the EU election campaign here in France on behalf of the presidential majority. It was a tough campaign which culminated in a resounding victory for the far-right national rally. On that election night in June, in a shock announcement, the French president called a snap parliamentary election in which none of the competing parties came close to winning a majority, and so the political drama in France continues. Valérie Ayé has been president of the centrist Renew Group in the European Parliament since January of this year, and she's been re-elected to that position. Welcome to you, to the programme.
Thank you.
So let's go straight to this crucial vote on July the 18th. Ursula von der Leyen, of course, running for a second term as European Commission President. You tweeted that your group's discussions with Ursula von der Leyen were frank. Sounds like it was quite a difficult exchange.
Not so difficult. It was a very constructive exchange. We had regarding our group, of course, we welcomed the decision of the head of state and government to propose Ursula von der Leyen as candidate for being re-elected as a president of the Commission. But it's not a blanco check, if I can say. We requested two things to her. First, political priorities regarding competitiveness, rule of law, defense and security, climate issues. So on the content.
The Green Deal, obviously.
Exactly. And also we want her and her political family to be absolutely clear on the fact not doing any deal with the far right in the European Parliament.
Do you feel you've got that guarantee about no deal with the ECR, the European Conservative Reformers? Did you get that from her or not?
She had a very clear answer: no deal with the ECR, no formalized deal with the ECR. She has discussions with some of them, but no deal, which is important indeed.
And of course, she only got through with 9 votes the first time round. You've said that, yes, no blank check, but that you also have a responsibility not to throw the EU into institutional chaos, right?
Indeed, that's right. We all have, all you pro-European politicians, we all have a responsibility for stability in this real troubling world. And that's why we are asking a lot also to Ursula von der Leyen. Concrete commitments so that we can manage to stabilize this pro-European majority. I'm confident about what she will present to us on Thursday. But indeed, we will see, we'll have a debate and then we will vote.
That's right. How has the atmosphere changed, though? Because, of course, you did lose a significant number of seats in the European election in June. But you're now very close to the ECR. You're the fifth largest bloc now, so you dropped a few places, but you're actually quite close in the number of seats to the ECR. So, and you're hoping to get a couple more people in the next few days?
I will do my best. Now we are at 77 members. Yeah. We gained 3 in the last days and weeks. So I will try to have more colleagues so that we can keep our third position, or fourth position. Mm. But of course, the figures are important for sure. And as president of the group, this very important group, I would have preferred, and I've fought myself to have more and more seats. But at the end, added to that, what is the most important is our political position, our influence. And at the end of the day, we maintain our influence, because there isn't any possible majority without the Renew Group.
But would it help to have more influence, for example, when it comes to committee chairmanships in the Parliament if you were to go up above this current fifth place?
Of course, all the positions are important. The committee chair, of course, the presidents of the different groups. Also, we never speak about the coordinator's position. It seems to be more technical, but at the end, you can have lots of positions and very, very powerful coordinators. So you have all the positions and at the end, the political influence you can have also regarding the negotiations. And as I said, our political position, we are at the bridge between the right and the EPP and the socialists in the European Parliament, no majority can be done without us. So it means that the right needs us and that the left needs us too.
Let's not skate over, though, some of the internal problems. You had this Czech party, the ANO, which left your group because they basically became a Eurosceptic party. And you've also got this problem with the Dutch VVD, which at the national level has entered into a four-way coalition with the far right in the Netherlands.
Yes, which is non-confirmed to our values and our principles in the European Parliament. And our position is clear. No deal with the far right. Absolutely no deal. We practice what we call the cordon sanitaire. So it means no deal, no discussions, no vote for any far right candidate.
But they won't be expelled, though. Ultimately, the VVD from your group.
I'm president of the group. I have a discussion with my head of delegation because I cannot take a decision myself. So we had a frank discussion and we took decisions. So first, to have a mission at the national level to ask them to be accountable about what they did. Second, not to invite them anymore to our activities. And then I think you will see they don't have any more responsibility within the group.
You've called the newly formed Patriots for Europe a paper tiger. You say they won't have that much influence, but are you worried that if they combine with the ECR and even the EPP on certain issues, let's say farming or the internal combustion engine, then they could actually have some influence?
That's why I will ask my EPP colleagues not to make any deal with them to apply the cordon sanitaire on the responsibilities, but also on the content. We can have a majority, and we have the majority with EPP, SND and Renew. We should continue with this pro-European majority. So that's absolutely clear. I'm confident about our common willingness to continue with this pro-European majority. We had frank discussions with EPP colleagues during the last days, and our final conclusion was quite clear about this common understanding and political willingness.
Valérie, you've been very outspoken about the Hungarian Prime Minister and what he calls his peace tour to Kiev, Moscow, Beijing and Washington. Now, Poland has asked for a discussion about the legality of that peace mission because, of course, he didn't represent the European Council. He didn't have a mandate. Do you support something like a kind of legal probe or would you take a more low-key approach to this?
I count on the Council to take its responsibilities. What is happening now is absolutely unacceptable. Unacceptable. We already knew that this presidency would not have been like the others because we have rule of law issue in Hungary. We know the proximity between Viktor Orban and Vladimir Putin. I request and I ask with my group, the head of state and government, the Council, to take its legal and political responsibility to ask him to stop what he's doing in the name of Europe. No, that cannot be done in our name.
And of course, a lot of member states and government have deliberately snubbed Orbán and sent much lower level officials to these council meetings in Budapest. Is that the right way forward, do you think, during this presidency? Or would you be in favor of actually trying to end the Hungarian presidency early?
I think we should find a political way for him not being in responsibility anymore. What he's doing here, what it happening now, it's unacceptable, and we should find a way, and the council should find a way to end it. Otherwise,
to end it before the 6 months has officially finished.
I think so. And if it is not possible for any political or legal reason, so let's see how we can manage and challenge him. But really, we have a real political problem here.
Let's talk a bit about France as well. You call the French parliamentary election outcome here a victory for the Republic, but of course it leaves nobody satisfied in the end. Are you worried about this paralysis that could continue for some time here, potentially?
First, I would like to say that the French people understood the risk of having the far right in responsibility. And they said, look, we vote. Indeed, the far right had a lot of votes and voters. That's a reality.
They had 10 million votes,
yeah,
more than
that's
anybody
huge.
Else.
And that's why we also need to think about how to be more concrete in the answer we give in our public policy for people. But the reality is that nobody won the election. No, there is no bloc having an absolute majority in the National Assembly. So it means that French politicians should look to what we do in the European Parliament, which is absolutely not a practice at the national level. We don't do coalition. It's not in our political culture. So considering the current situation, they should say, look, let's go. We all pro-European, Democrat, Republican politicians, let's speak together to try to find, for those 2 years or 3 years, to find a way to work together so that the country can continue to work.
Thank you so much, Valérie Ayer.
Thank you
so much for being our guest. And what Valérie Ayer was saying there about a possible change in French political culture is exactly what we're going to be discussing in part two of this programme with my panel of MEPs at the European Parliament in Brussels. So don't go away.